bless the Lord for the good songs of Zion.
Yes, sir.
And so the good question is that, what have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of John, St. John, chapter number 14. That's the very passages that we've looked at this morning, except we're backing up to verse number 2 and 3 in John, St. John, chapter number 14. If you're able to stand, we'll look there for a moment. In the book of St. John, chapter 14, verse number 2 and verse number 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the goodness of God. Bless your word to every heart. Thank you for salvation being full and free for everyone that'll receive it, for everlasting to those that do. Now bless this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on this title, A Place Prepared for You. You're sitting here this morning, and if you're lost without God, you're not going to be able to go to this place we're talking about, but God prepared it for you. You know, a person dies and goes to hell without God. They're not going to a place in hell that God prepared for humanity. He prepared that for the devil and his angels. But there's a lot of people that are going to go there. But in this lesson we're looking at, you're going to find out what wonderful words that we have spoken that are here. And let me tell you, it's by the most wonderful person that ever has been or ever shall be. And that is that I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'll begin to look at, and you know, the perversions of the Bible are talking about, and they've changed that, in my Father's house are many mansions, and they've changed that to room. I've already got a room.
Yes, sir.
Every now and again, my room needs to be disinfected. Every now and again, my room needs to be, I don't know, what do you call it? A rat talk octomy. You won't find that everywhere. Not often. I mean, but I keep them killed. If there's a rat shows up, I go to hunting him down and killing him or poisoning him. And let me tell you right up front is that the reason being is I don't want all them cats I've got laying on the porch and hanging up on the four-wheeler and on the top of the car. I don't want them getting scared over a bunch of rats. I mean, my word, that's not good for their diet. They're eating Purina dog chow. I said all that to be able to say that what a place this is that God's talking about. Notice, if you will, Jesus said, I go, I go. Now, this is a prepared place, and it's prepared for you and I by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No, he's not up in heaven and taking a saw and a hammer and building something. Let me tell you right now is that he went to the cross of Calvary, bowed his head, gave up the ghost, said it's finished, shed his blood that you and I could have a place prepared in heaven in one of the Father's mansions. By the way, did you notice that? Is that you'll find that it's the most beautiful place you'll ever lay your eyes on. I was thinking about, you know, I watch a little bit of The Price is Right every now and again if I'm sitting there and it's on and so forth and on. And I'm thinking about whenever they're showing some of these places that you could win to go here and to go there. And some of them look so luxurious. I guarantee you they can't hold a light to what God has got prepared for those that love him and that know him. I wondered why, you know, sometimes, you know, got somebody there going to win a big prize, and it's like, oh, my, they're all excited about it. They stand to win $10,000 to $50,000, and then the next time it's somebody that's got a television, set of golf clubs, and I thought to myself, it looked like somebody every now and again say, nah, I don't care about going to that place. I don't even want to be in on that. You never see that. Of course, they got to be lying a lot. I can't believe that people are winning that much money at a time on a daily show. Can you believe it? Some of them winning $50,000, $100,000. Do you know how long it takes to work and slave and save and come up? Well, some of you may know how to do that. I don't know, but I'm still working on it. But I've got a place already prepared for me. The price has been paid. I hadn't got to do a thing for it except believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I tell you, it's got to be the most peaceful place that you've ever been in your life. I got to say this right here. Somebody said, boy, it sounds expensive. It is. And it was not purchased with silver and gold, the Bible said, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, all you boys and girls need to realize and recognize Jesus has got salvation prepared for you. But if you're interested in everything else but Him, you'll never see it. You'll never go there. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that the Lord Jesus Christ, He says, I go, and He went with you in mind, and you're not even interested in it. Isn't that sad? If you're not saved here this morning, God said, I go. I'm sending my Son to prepare a place, and you have no interest whatsoever. Somebody said, well, you don't know what kind of upbringing that I've had. We're not talking about somebody else's heart. We're talking about your heart. Regardless of how many of my kin folks died without God and went to hell, and I'm sorry that it's that way, I'm glad God reached down and knocked on my heart, said, I've got a place prepared for you. You believe in God, believe in also in me, and by Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Number two is, not only did he go, but he's coming again. Did you notice in the passage we read, he said there in verse number three, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Look at that. He not only has paid the sin debt on Calvary over 2,000 years ago, bless God, honey, he was dead, was buried, and resurrected the third day according to the scriptures, ascended back to heaven, soon to come again. And make no mistake about it, he's going to come again. My question to you sitting here this morning, are you prepared for his coming? You remember over there in the book of Matthew in chapter number 25, you ain't got to turn there particularly, but I'm going to turn in Matthew 24 in a moment. But over there, remember the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins? And the wise took oil in their lamp, but the foolish didn't carry none in theirs. And when it came time for the master to come again, the Lord to come again, some of them decided and realized they're not ready. I'm going to tell you, you better not sit here on your do-nothing and wait till Jesus and you hear the trumpet sound, so it'll be too late. See? In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that the wise, they were ready. They went right on in, but the others waited till it was too late. Now, here's a question right now while the door is open for you. When he comes again, the door is going to be shut. Now, I said all that, say this. What was it that these people are preoccupied with while you turn to Matthew 24? Don't lose your text. But in the book of Matthew, chapter number 24, what was it these people here, what were they preoccupied with? In Matthew chapter number 24 and about verse number 14, in this Bible lesson you'll find is that we find, and look, no, it's chapter number 24, verse 44, I don't know why I keep calling it a 14. I've written something over the top of it, and it looks like a 14. But that'd have to be like 42, 43, 14. I mean, where'd you learn to count? Verse 44. Therefore be ye also ready. Are ye ready? Ready or not, he's coming. Be ye therefore also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man is coming. You know, I want to tell you something. Here's what they were doing. If you look there in that chapter there, look at about verse 48 of Matthew 24. The Bible said, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. All right, here they are. Ah, he's not coming again. He said he'd come again. They don't think he will. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants to eat drink with the drunken. Hey, do you realize to know the reason why we've got so much lawlessness in the day and hour that we live in the country that we're living in? People smiting, people fighting, people killing. You know why that is? They just don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ is going to ever come again. That's what they were preoccupied with. I notice that, if you will, please, is the reason why they feel like that is that they have no faith. And as a result of that, they don't know him in the free pardon of sin. They chose not to believe God. Over the book of Hebrews, and you ain't got to turn there, but in chapter number 10, and the Bible said in about verse number 37, is that he that promised that he would come and shall not tarry. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 37. Listen to it. For yet a little while, and I won't tell you, it'll just be a little while compared to eternity. And he said, yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. You know, if you're a child of God, you believe what God said. You've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been born into the family of God. If you don't believe that he's coming, you'll end up one of these days being caught up with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and have no regard for God, the Bible, good or right, or moral or decent. Listen, do you know the reason why this morning that everybody's sitting here? We've got some beer drinking, dope smoking, fornicating, adultery committing kinfolks that very seldom ever darken the door of the house of God, and generally it's at a funeral. They've got time for anything and everybody else, but they've got no time for God whatsoever. You know the reason why it's that way? They don't believe he's coming again. By the way, they've not believed in him and received him in the free pardon of sin. You know, I was thinking about this morning while we were sitting here looking, and we've got some beautiful gals and handsome-looking young men. You're welcome. But do you realize and recognize, though, that if you will, that just being born into a family and connected with a family that believes God and the Bible won't do it for you? You know why? Think about while you're sitting here, and if you're just a young person and you're not expected to know a whole lot, but I ask every now and again, hey, do you know somebody that's your age or better as an adult, young adult? Do you know somebody that's lost without God that's going to hell? I want you to get them in your mind. Maybe you're thinking, I don't really know anybody. It's you. See, when you get saved by the grace of God, you're going to know some people that are not. And you'll be burdened about them and concerned about them and praying for them and involved with the work of the Lord and glad God saved you and snatched you as a brand from the burden. But you'll be burdened about the fact that how is it they have no faith. I think about number three in this lesson that we're looking at here this morning. Is that in verse number 3 of our text that we were looking at, and if I go and prepare a place for you, and he said he would, and he has, and he did, I will come again, and he's going to, and receive you unto myself. Now look at that, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you know what that is? That's the personal escort of the Lord coming after you. He's not going to have to come down here and begin to hunt up for Dennis Anderson. But it comes time for me to go. He knows exactly who I am. He knows exactly where I'm at. And I'll tell you something. He knows that about you as well. This Bible said that I'm going to come again. And he says, I'm going to receive you unto myself. Now, you know the reason why he's going to receive us and be our personal escort? Because we've received him. He gave us faith to believe him, grace to believe him, mercy and faith, repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that that's the reason in verse number 1, we didn't read it, but he said, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. I want to tell you something. Jesus paid the sin debt over 2,000 years ago. I was listening to a little excerpt way back when Billy Graham was young, and he was preaching about sin. I only listened a minute or two, but he was nailing it down. And here's what he said: sin will ruin your mind. Why do you think that? And then he gave a passage that the God of this world had blinded the minds of them that obey not the gospel, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine unto them and they should be saved. I want to say that whenever you sit here this morning and you're listening, that God can only and will only be your personal escort if He has become your Lord and your Savior and granted you repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to come get you, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, I want to tell you what that means. We're going to be together and never part again. I want to say to you that whenever you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, have you done that? And if you've not done that, it won't make any difference how handsome a young man, how pretty a young lady. If you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ personally into your heart and your life. Now here's what it amounts to. Over there in the book of Acts, remember when Paul the Apostle and some men that were over there in Acts 16, and they got incarcerated, and we call them in the jail over there at Philippi, and the Philippian jailer, remember that God opened up all the bars and all the doors, and this guy was going to kill himself, the jailer. And as a result of that, is that Paul the Apostle cried with a loud voice and said, do not self no harm. We are all still right here. I'm going to tell you, it shook that old jailer up that in verse number 30, that the Bible said, after he lit a light, came in trembling, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Now, you know, when you got saved, that's kind of the question you had. You might not have been in jail, but you was in the devil's prison house. I think about whenever I'm looking into this lesson that's here, you'll find that in Psalms 145, and we're going to turn there, we're going to close with that. In Psalms 145, the Bible says in verse number 18 is where we'll begin. Psalms 145, about verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all that call upon Him. Unto all that call upon Him in truth. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not just to bow your head and repeat a prayer, but it's being honest before God, about the blood, about the Savior, about the resurrection. It's honesty about yourself being lost without God and without hope. Look in verse 19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will He destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless His holy name forever and forever. Now, I want to tell you something. The Bible says the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon Him, that call upon Him in the truth. Now, here's what the truth is. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. You and I were born sinners, without hope, without God, hell-bent, hell-bound, until God stepped in and with the message of God and granted us saving faith. The truth is, we can't save ourselves. We must need the Savior and trust Him as our Lord and Savior. And next of all, last but not least, I've asked the Lord to save my soul. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There wasn't anybody trying to dingle or jangle or get my attention or promise me anything. God dealt with my heart like He did your heart. And when God did so, it made me realize that this thing here, if I died like I am, I'm going to bust hell wide open. I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of guessing like this. I'm ready. Lord, save me for Jesus' sake. Now, I don't know how what it was you said and how you said it. You know, somebody said, if you didn't say exactly, and then people go to thinking, well, I didn't say it exactly that way. Listen, really and truly, salvation is God come knocking and you responding in a positive manner with your heart and with your soul and with your mind. And when he does, he'll change your life forever. Change your life forever. I'm glad to be saved by the grace of God. God used to trouble me. I got saved, and then the next week I'd rejoice and I'd sleep at night. I'd wake up as though I was preaching somewhere. I can't remember some of the sermons. They were pretty good back then. Now I'm old and worn out. But I can remember that God was doing something real in my heart. And it wasn't salvation. That had done been took care of. I walked down that aisle and told that preacher, I said, well, I've trusted the Lord and Savior as my Lord and, as my Lord and Savior. I've been born into the family of God. And I came, that was 1 week. The next week, I came down there or a week or two later and said, hey, I believe God's calling me to preach. And you know what he said? Well, my word, you just got saved. You just got saved a couple of weeks ago. I said, yes, sir. I think all preachers ought to be saved first. He didn't know what to do with that. He didn't have a clue. He didn't have a clue. Good old man knew about the gospel, but didn't have a clue. I'm glad to know God's got a clue. God knows it. I want to say in closing here this morning here, young man, young lady, do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? He's promised, I prepared a place for you. I look around and there's a few empty spots that are dear to my heart that you can't call back. I'm confident they left this world and they went to a prepared place. I believe that with all my heart. And I want to tell you something right now is we're going to, some of us soon, join their ranks. Yes, sir. But I wonder, what about you? You know, there's a message over there, David. Remember David? Saul hated him. Jonathan was Saul's son. And Jonathan was a good friend to David. And boy, I'm going to tell you, when the heat got on, Jonathan said, you better go for your life. My daddy, though he's a king and not right, he wanted to help old David out. I heard an old boy preach a sermon. And down through the years, I've mentioned it maybe myself. But he said that whenever they got through with the supper, they were sat down to supper, everybody would be in their place. But they noticed, Saul noticed that David's spot was empty. And he said, I want to preach a sermon entitled Missing at Supper. Now, I'll tell you something. If you're a child of God, one of these days, it's going to be supper time. And you and I are going to be missing down here. We're going to be missing. I wonder this morning, do you know him in the free pardon of sin? When was it God came knocking on your heart's door and troubled you to where you were thinking about your soul's condition? Amen. I wonder, while we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our musicians are coming. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it and how good that it is to be in the house of God. There might be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, say, preacher, that sermon was strictly for me. God's been pounding my heart. Whether it be salvation, whether it be service, whatever the need is, Lord, thou knowest. I pray you'd finish it. And Lord, cause them to see themselves like you see them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?
Page 165.
If you need to come, you better.